22 to 8 on a Monday morning. It was some sort of season for the Melbourne Football Club and the men's competition, the AFL Premiers. And funnily enough, not in front of their faithful at the MCC, all the way over in the West. I don't think in the end it was a great concern to the Football Club. And Kate Roffey is the president of the Football Club. And she would have been very, very happy just to hoist that cup aloft. She joins us on the line to review and preview, I suppose, the season 2022 coming up. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. Are you still sort of basking in the afterglow, or you moved on?
Oh, look, we're still getting on with business. We're in the middle of an AFLW season now. We've got another AFL season to get prepared for. So, yeah, people often ask, you know, have you come down yet? But we sort of, I think, got straight back into it and said, right, what's next? So, I don't really think, people often ask me, so I don't really think I'll understand what we've done until, you know, I've finished my time as president and I'm sitting there one day and going, gee, what an extraordinary time that was.
It was an extraordinary time watching it without any emotional attachment, I can tell you. So when you get a chance to breathe and look at it, I think you'll enjoy what happened. And it's the combination of 8 years or a long time of rebuilding the club. You've spoken about this before. There must have been an enormous amount of satisfaction to see what was unfolding and then ultimately that Premiership Cup.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary journey. I think that's, you know, the part of the thing is that people sort of go, oh, what happened this year? And it's not this year. It's not me. It's not any one of us. It's such a long journey and so many people put, you know, all their time and effort into getting there. And it really is. We went right back, you know, I've been on the board it's coming on for 9 years now, I guess, but we went right back at that time and said, right, it's got to be an absolute rebuild. And we build ourselves to set ourselves up for sustained success. And we didn't know when that year would come. You know, it started in 2021 and we hope it keeps going forward, but it really was a long journey. And just to see, you're one of the greatest things that gives me joy is I was at the tennis the other night and someone just came up, she was from WA, but she said, I was in West Australia for the grand final. I was a Carlton supporter, but you came over to the fence after everyone had gone and had selfies with us. I've now bought a Melbourne membership. And it's things like that the joy that people actually get from what the club has done that really, you know, any day you sit there and you think, oh, there's a lot to do, you know, that really makes it all worthwhile.
I'm not sure what was more impressive, the team and how well they played or the way that you've celebrated the premiership with the fans and the amount of photographs or social media, whatever, content of your fans with the cup and just the... I don't know, you've just shared it so well with the fans. How did you plan that? And is there any one person that's responsible for making it such a special thing for the fans, not just winning it, but celebrating with them?
No, I think all clubs are different. All clubs, like all players and people, have their own personality, and ours is very much a people club. And when we were, Gary Pert, our CEO, and I was sitting over in Perth, after the match, and we were just in the change room by ourselves. Everyone else was out on the field, and we just said that so many people had picked the cup up and had been dropped and dinged already, and we said it's the people's cup. We don't want to put it in a cupboard and just have it so that people who walk into the boardroom can see it. We want everyone who's a Melbourne supporter and a lot of people who aren't Melbourne supporters as well, we want them all to be able to touch it. People don't get to touch a Premiership cup. Yeah, there is only one. People say, how many of you got it? You know, are there three or four of the cups? I was like, there's only one, and it's the one that goes around everywhere, and we want everyone to have a photo. We don't make people put gloves on it, and people shouldn't have to put gloves on it. It's as much every supporter's cup as it is, you know, anyone who's played in the team or anyone who's worked for the club. So, yeah, we really have that ethos of everybody gets to touch it. And people ask me all the time, can you come to a lunch and bring the cup? I'm like, I can't even get hold of the cup. She's out and about doing her own thing. She's got her own diary.
But that, I mean, I've got two questions I want to ask you about that. And firstly, that is one of the questions. How have you organised it the way you have? Because I got a text from a friend the other day with a picture with the cup. Mm. And I'm like, how does this happen? How do you... Because it's pretty busy, the cup.
Yeah, she is very busy. Yeah, virtually, it has a diary. And if I do, I've had it for, you know, a couple of nights here, so friends and family can... We can enjoy it. And I've had it, you know, for a couple of big lunches that I've been to. And I ring up, like everybody else at the club, I ring up and say, is the cup available on XYZ day? So I've booked it for, I think, a day in... March this year to take to a dinner, And it has its own diary, and we say, no, sorry, it's in Sydney, or it's heading over to South Australia, or it's down in Bairnsdale, or over in Geelong. It has, seriously, she has been everywhere, one of the best-travelled cups that you'll ever find, I think. And we have staff who take the cup. You know, it's virtually a couple of our staff have been on the road with the cup, pretty much since the grand final. So we've made sure, every player has had an opportunity to take it home for a night and share it with their family and friends and staff members, and then we get it out as much as we can to lunches, to dinners, to everywhere, so that, like you said, people can come and just pick it up and have a photo with it. It's an extraordinary thing to be standing there and have, 90-year-old men coming up and touching the cup and bursting into tears. It really does mean that much to people.
Sorry, the cup's not available today. She's having a facial and a massage. Available after 11.
She needs a good clean,
though. That's all right.
She needs a facial.
So the last part of that discussion is, do you think you would have still done it had you won it in Melbourne and not in Perth? Is it something that sort of organically happened, that because your fans missed out, or so many of them missed out, that it was a way of sharing it, or would have you done it anyway?
No, we would have anyway. I mean, there's a limited number of people who can get into the MCG for grand final day.
Yeah, here. True.
So, we would have done it irrespective, and I think we would have had as many people. We had 37,000 people turn up to watch a replay of the match, and we did that because we thought it wasn't here in Melbourne, and let's let our fans come and see it. But I think Melbourne, being as Melbourne is, I think we could have won in at the MCG, and we could have replayed it, and we still would have had those people turn up. That was an extraordinary day. We weren't quite sure how that would go, but it was people are still talking about it, and those who said, oh, I can watch it on the telly, and didn't go, are kicking themselves now, because everyone who went there, it was just such a great atmosphere. It really was quite an unbelievable day.
So with all the expectation now going into 2022 and beyond from the men's perspective, does it create anxiety or confidence that you've done it before?
Neither, I think. It creates a knowledge that we've done the hard work and we know what you have to do. I think it's always when you've won a first grand final, when it's first won in 57 years, you certainly have got the monkey off your back a bit, but you know what needs to happen. And I think, the extraordinary thing when I look at the team, and I'm sure like many other people, we've all watched at least that 15 minutes of play like 100 times. It is, irrespective of whether you're a Melbourne supporter or not, some of the most extraordinary football you'll ever see, some of the most extraordinary sport you'll ever see. They know that they can do it. And I think there's one thing about thinking, yes, we can do this, and actually knowing out on the field that you can do it. And I think the belief amongst the coaching group, the playing group, the supporters, the staff, that's a different thing, I think, this year. As Maxi Gawn said at our best and fairest, these things aren't easy to win. Just because you've won one by, a big margin, doesn't mean you're going to come through and win another one. There's a lot of work to do, and they're extraordinarily long seasons and difficult things. We'll have COVID impacts. We're seeing that with our women's group already. All sorts of things happen. You need a good deep list. You need a good culture. You need a bit of luck. A bit of luck with the bounce of the ball. A bit of luck with the umpire's call. All those things need to go together to win you a premiership. But we're putting ourselves in the best position that we can to have sustained success. And, we expect that will bring us a lot more finals. Whether it brings that ultimate premiership prize it remains to be seen. But we're certainly in as good a position as we can be, we think.
From a sports science perspective, which is your background, are they unconsciously competent, these Melbourne footballers?
Absolutely. And, you see someone like a Cozzy Pickett, who's, an extraordinary talent. And people say, he's so great. And Cozzy's able to be that great because the people around him, or the players around him who've been playing for so many more years, are in that real unconsciously competent space. And it lets you be as good as you can with your flair and your dare because you get those opportunities. And I think, we've still got some players who are young and they won't be in that sports science unconsciously competent state, but we've got plenty who are, and they all go together to make all the players out on the field be able to know their role, play their role, and look as good as they do. And it's it's quite an extraordinary and exciting thing to have such a young team. We're still one of the second or third youngest teams out there on the field each week. So that's exciting when you look at the structure of the group that we've got. To see them and think that they're going to play together probably for another 5, 6, 7 years, it's a pretty exciting time for Melbourne Football Club.
Well, it's hard to take your eyes off them last season, the way they played. It was just scintillating to watch. So no surprise there. What about the women's competition in action at the moment? As you said, the Ds are going beautifully, undefeated after three rounds. What would it mean to get Daisy a premiership before she retired?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something we talk about when Daisy and I talked about this when, we were talking about our succession planning and being president, and I said, I'll stay and do this, but you have to stay and keep playing AFL. And so we made a deal that Daisy will keep playing until we get the job done. So, she's like just such a fantastic role model, not just for AFLW, but for all women's sport. And I know it's something that drives all our women players to, you know, win for Daisy, because she has been such an extraordinary beacon in the AFLW landscape for so many years, and it would just be fantastic. We have a long way to go though in the season. We've got a tough match coming up against Adelaide this week, so they're always a really good indicator of how well you are actually travelling in the competition. So I know they'll be looking forward to that, and hopefully going one better than last year and getting through to the grand final and hoisting another Premiership Cup up.
Well, I'm sure Melbourne fans would love to see the double, the men's and women's double. But after 57 years for the men, it was a cause for celebration, and well done on the way the club has handled it. It's been, as Whitey said, it's been one of the highlights of the off-season, without a doubt. Good on you, Kate. Well done to you and the board, and good luck in season 2022 and for the women's comp as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And no doubt we'll chat during the season.
Look forward to it.
All good news.
Hopefully. We'll see how we go. Kate Roffey, the president of Melbourne. The Premiership Demons, if you don't mind, after a massive 2021.